Herron Mayor Steve Frattini on the other end of the line. Morning, Mr. Mayor. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Tom. We're terrific.
Yeah. I tell you what, you know, right now, when I talked to Brad Robinson last week, we were talking about, you know, the mutual assistance the police department was offering for Herron for Carterville and things like that. But I get the impression for more and more community leaders that keeping the doors open with staff being tested, in some case positive, that that's becoming increasingly difficult.
Well, it has its challenges, and we're taking every precaution that we can, you know, to keep everybody safe. We still have essential services that we have to provide every day, and you have to have your people to be able to do that.
And when it comes to testing, you've got so many days you've got to wait, and to keep things running smoothly, should I close this, should I close that? Are there any updates we need to serve for your citizens?
Not for the city of Herron, you know, and our workforce there. We've been very fortunate in that we've only had minimal impact, you know, from the COVID on our workforce, and we've been able to continue on with all services that should be provided.
You know, these changes with the cure money that were announced recently, have you applied for those cure monies to help with your essential services now that that's been opened a bit more on, in that aspect?
We are right in the midst of doing that. We've got one of the departments completely wrapped up in it, and we're working on the second. But I suspect we should have that done here in the next few days. We have until the end of the year to actually get all that submitted. So we are moving on it for sure, since it has loosened up a little bit.
There has been a lot more pressure on mayors and other elected officials to begin enforcing mitigation efforts. Now, the governor, on his Facebook page, here's just, I'm going to read a small portion of it, just the second half. If you're wondering what you can do to help stop the spread, wear your mask and stay home if you can, and give your county board chair or your mayor a call. Ask them what they're doing to enforce the doctor-recommended mitigations, and ask them what they're doing to keep you safe.
Well, we've all seen that. Actually, that came out in a tweet the other day as well. And it's fine and dandy to do those things that we can. When it comes to an enforcement, we really do not have the tools by which to enforce anything. If the governor is really focused on the municipal and the county officials enforcing his executive orders, then we have to have the tools. We have to have the statutes and the legal basis by which to do it. We are still living in America. So it's not a dictatorial type of thing. If we have certain requirements, give us the tools to do it, we'll set about doing it. But right now, we do not have those tools to do it.
Do you think that the legislature should be called back in Springfield to address that?
Yeah, I would say over the past 8 months, there's been ample opportunity to do just that. If this is the direction that we're going to be, and I'm not saying it's good or it's bad or anything like that, Tom. It's just that whenever you take a shot at your county officials, your municipal officials, and putting the burden on them of, you know, fixing the problem, so to speak, without any tools in hand, it's not right. The legislature needs to enact statutes that will, in fact, give us the tools to work with. Otherwise, there's really no direction other than just go out and enforce it. That's pretty much it. Well, okay. I think that that needs to be carried out throughout state agencies as well. And if the statutes are there for the county and the municipal, fine. We'll do our part. Meanwhile, of course, we're all encouraging people, wear your mask, stay your 6 feet apart, avoid crowds if you can. But at the same time, we're not in a position to go tell a business, and I'm sorry, Mr. Businessman, but you have to stop earning a living to feed your family, pay your bills, and that of your employees. We have no legal or statutory authority to go out and do that. And I think there needs to be some tools to work with and perhaps a little more guidance and a study of the science that's here. You know, how are we making these determinations?
All right, here's the interesting, because I was speaking with another Southern Illinois mayor on Friday evening. He says, okay, let's go out and let's say I do what the governor has asked me to do. I go out and enforce. and then I get sued because I don't have, as you just call them, tools I need to be able to enforce this because it's not in the letter of the law.
Exactly.
And so the next thing I do, I've got a lawsuit where an attorney is paying me, charging me $250 an hour to defend me in court, and the state of Illinois has me enforce it, while at the same time doesn't cover me when it comes to the litigation and the cost of any litigation that comes afterwards.
Well, that's the whole picture right there, Tom. And I've talked to probably seven or eight of the mayors in our locale here over the past several days, or almost daily in some of them. And we all, I'm not speaking for them, but it seems as though we all share that common thought of we have not received the tools or the statutory authorities to do some of the things I believe that the governor is asking us to do. And the reluctance there, number one, is the legal ramifications that we would encounter, and using our uniform police officers as the enforcement entity. I don't know who else, you know, he intends us to use there. Crime still marches on.
Right.
And most of us are sort of either short-staffed as is or rearranging our schedules to avoid exposure for one another. We're going to 12-hour shifts here in Heron. Once again, we've been there. We're going back to them just to keep our officers segregated from one from another on shift overlays and stuff like that. So we're shorthanded, and we're going to go enforce the governor's orders without the tools. And meanwhile, crime marches on. So where do you go then?
All right. So it's not all bad news out there right now.
You, in fact, have
quite a number of new businesses springing up.
Yeah, we've been well blessed in that regard. We got some more getting ready to break ground on one office complex type of situation here. We've got AutoZone. There you got the walls up. We got the paint on the building and getting ready to start on their interior finish out. And our Maytag facility, we've got some real strong consideration being given there by a nationally recognized organization. We can't say just yet because the ink's not quite wet and dried yet. But it will bring a few jobs into that facility and utilize that. So we've been blessed throughout the last 2 or 3, 4 years now on being able to attract and retain, you know, a number of new businesses.
Briefly, before I let you go, Mike Murphy brought to my attention the program for Heron's Hometown Christmas, scheduled to begin November 27th. We've only got about a minute left, Mr. Mayor. What can you tell me about this upcoming event?
Well, it's terrific for the city. Last year, we basically had no decorations and very little merchant participation. So a group of volunteers, Brenda Brewster, Rhonda Shoemake, Candy Cockatera, my wife, and a bunch of them, they got together. And Brenda and Rhonda sort of hit it up, raised a bunch of money, organized the committees, and we are going to be looking very good this year on Christmas. The city did not have the resources or the funds to be able to do that sort of thing. So once again, the community stepped forward, the volunteers and community, and making it happen. It's going to be quite nice.
I note on the 27th at 5, Mayor Steve Frattini announces all lights come on in Heron. What is that?
Well, I haven't got the memo yet, Tom.
Well, I do have the advance copy. So
right. I think that will be when we light the tree downtown. It'll be on Monroe and Park Avenue, Highway 148 Monroe, on First Southern's parking lot there on the corner. It'll be the official lighting of the community Christmas tree. It's a big old tree and very well decorated. That and the lights up and down Park and Avenue, the lights in the garland on the lamppost and all that, all comes on at the same time.
Just noted one of your residents just texted me and said, glad to hear my mayor understands the hardships of our small businesses in Heron. We all have to survive. And I think that's the operative word at the end. You and I talked about this on Friday. Is, you know, they're saying, well, why are they staying open? Because they're fighting for their lives. And I don't think that that's in many ways an overstatement. I really don't, Steve.
Yeah, and we didn't use our our buzzword from Friday, Tom. The direction from the governor's office is quite nebulous, and exactly what it is we're supposed to be doing, how, what the expectation is there, and so forth. It's difficult for me to go into business and say, sorry, folks, you got to close your doors. I don't care if the kids are hungry and you got people that can't pay their light bill, but this is the way it is. We don't have the authority, and then I have to really question the moral aspects of being able to do that in a free society that we live in.